Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Aina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. We'd like to say hello to everyone. I'm going to get a song on, as we usually do, as my co-host comes on the line. Give me 1 second, and I'll get something on for us to play. And here we go. I hope you like it. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Thank you for another edition of the Yehuda Project. Give me a minute. I'm going to get my co-host on the line. Brother Donnie, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Donnie. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I have a special show tonight. We have some Christian pastors in my presence, and I have some prophets in my presence today, and we are going to have a special show. I want to make sure that I introduced everyone and bring everyone online. So anything in particular you want to talk about today?
No, you can't wait. I just want to see what everybody else is talking about, and maybe I could shed some light on some things.
Hallelujah. Well, they're about to call in a moment. I'm getting everybody the number. I'm also sending out a text to all of the people in the audience if they want to join us today, because we got quite a few people on the line. So I'm sending that out now. So let's talk about some current events. What's been going on with you?
It's just that the people that hold us captive is really, you understand, trying to extinguish us. You know, I'm really upset with these folks, man. How could they put this disease into the continent of Africa? And now the continent, there's 15 countries in Africa that is at risk for Ebola. You understand? You know, so we can see this as plain as day, that they trying to annihilate us, annihilate all black folks. They trying to take that land away from the black folks for the materials that it possesses. See, that land is enriched with all kinds of materials, man, gold and silver, oil, precious jewels. The best way that they could think of to get that land is to annihilate everybody over there. You understand? And it just kind of upsets me how they could do certain things. But anybody that does not know the understanding of the Almighty should be furious. You understand, at what's going on, what these people are doing. You understand? We should be, because for one thing, we don't have any recourse in the matter. They trying to shoot us and stab us. I mean, shoot us and over here in America and put all of our folks in jail. You understand? And it's a way of different things that they're doing. You understand? To eliminate us, and it just upsets me real bad. But I understand that the Almighty is not going to let this happen continuously. The curse, they talk about the curse. King David had a psalm, and in his psalm, the Almighty has said that those that are called by my name, you understand, bethink themselves and call on him. And he would show the people's compassion so that they may show us compassion. He did not say anything about stopping the curse. The curse is already in place, and it's about at its end. You understand? So the at some point they're gonna show us some compassion. You understand? But the curse is not gonna be eliminated. You know, so it's just a lot of stuff here that's going on, and the only way that we're gonna get that compassion that the Almighty is talking about is that we got to beseech the Creator. We got the elected ones that the Almighty had given the charge to call on Him and beseech the Almighty. In our behalf, you understand, because that's our only out. We don't have anything else. This lady had got her son got picked up, and they charged him with some bogus stuff. Now he's doing 40 years on some stuff that he did not do. Oh, man, it's just horrible. You understand? You know, and they said that in his case that they did not have any evidence. Man, oh man. I mean, how could they continuously do this to us? You know, so I'm, you know, it's just heartbreaking. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you know, we were trying to bring a different flavor to the show because we have got to start bridging the gap between our friends, our family, and those people who are here that are bringing flavor to and wanting to come into the Nation of Yehuda, understanding who we are, all of that, the church, everybody. So our goal is to bring as many of our brothers and sisters into consciousness as possible. We have several people on the line today, and I just wanted to kind of tell everyone thank you for being continued listeners and to supporting the Nation of Yehuda and the Yehuda Project, because our goal in the Nation of Yehuda is to educate our people as to who they are, prepare them for the Exodus, and to get them ready to leave when the time comes. So I noticed that a lot of the Hebrew Israelites do not believe in prophecy, that they don't believe that prophets are in the earth today and that we don't have any prophets in the earth today, and that a lot of the prophecy that goes on in the church is not real. So given an opportunity, I have several people here that operate in that gift, and they are a guest on our show today. So I wanted to give them an opportunity to be able to say some things and speak into the lives of some of the people that are on this radio show. So it's going to get kind of interesting today because I want to introduce Israel to the church. We've got to introduce Israel to the church because those are our brothers and sisters that are in that entity, and they come with gifts, callings, and all sorts of things. And we've been made to believe that this is not real. So I wanted to open up the mics to those people who are visiting with us today. If you all would push one, I just want you to introduce yourself and let them know what gift you operate in and all of that good stuff, and we're waiting for them to come on board and get everything together. I have an area code 919 on the line. Hold on one moment. Let me get them on. Area code 919, how are you? Are you there? Hello.
This is Kelly.
Oh, okay. Shalom, Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you?
I am wonderful. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listening audience and let them know who you are, and that your fact that you're a Christian believer, and that what gift you operate in?
Okay. My name is Kelly Wilson, and I'm known to some as Prophetess Kelly, evangelist also.
All right. And you are, we thank you for coming on to the Yehuda Project. And we want to say hello to you. And we're going to leave your mic open because, like I said, Israel doesn't really familiarize themselves with too many prophets and prophetess or anything like that are on the line. And so I wanted to change it up a little bit so that we could have an opportunity to talk, because it's time for us to bridge the gap between us and Christianity so that we can all start coming together as a nation. Brother Donia, you have anything you want to say to Kelly, hello or anything like that?
Yes. How you doing, Kelly? This is Donia. I'm out of Atlanta, Georgia. And
okay.
I'm the director of the Aging, Bereavement, and Disability for the Nation of Yehuda. And how are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well.
Wonderful. Kelly, so why don't you give us some information? Are you familiar with the Hebrew Israelites at all?
I have a little bit of knowledge, but not a whole lot. So you can share some things with me if you like.
Oh, great. Okay, well, we have a lot of things that we want to share. First of all, we'd like to let you know that we thank you for coming in. We thank you for being a part of our show today. We know that the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade are the Hebrew Israelites of the Scriptures. Our goal at the Nation of Yehuda is to bridge the gap, to educate our people, to open up the door so that when the time comes, we will be able to have access to our brothers and sisters that are in Christianity, to be able to impart something positive in them and in terms of their ethnicity and what they have to look forward to. So this is one of our goals with the Nation of Yehuda, to be able to do this in love and to be able to communicate. This is very powerful because we've never had, well, I can't say we've never had a prophet because we have a pastor that calls in all the time, and I know she's one. But this is the second time that we've had an actual prophetess on the line that is wanting to know about who we are and what it is that we do. So let me get everyone else on the line before we open up everything else. I think that the prophetess or the pastor is on the line. If you could please push one, we would greatly appreciate it. And then we'll get her on the line, and then we go from there. Let me see if she's on yet. Okay, here we go. Let me put her line here. All right, Pastor, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you all?
Wonderful. Everybody's wonderful. So could you please introduce yourself to everyone, please?
My name is Pastor Johnson here in Ohio, and greetings to everyone, or shalom.
Greetings to you. Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia from Atlanta, Georgia.
I do have a question.
Yes,
ma'am. We have a lot of callers that are listening to this session, and a few of them are really not sure about the Nation of Yehuda, and I think I mentioned this last show, what exactly you all stand for. And if somebody just could explain that, because some people do have a lot of questions. And since we do have some people that are listening that are affiliated with Christianity and the church, that there is some fears, like I said last time, of the Nation of Yehuda or Hebrew Israelites being a cult. So if you can briefly explain that, and that would open up the floor, for questions so they can feel more comfortable. I believe it would kind of bridge the gap between the Nation of, you know, Yehuda and Christianity, and people would be more willing to learn and come to your Bible studies or just log on to your website for your teachings if they have a more clear understanding of what you stand for.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me see where we're going to start with that. And I open this floor up to all of the Hebrew Israelites that are on the line that would like to be a part of this conversation. Please feel free to push one, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us as well. Our brothers and sisters are here from Christianity, and they want to know. And this is an opportunity for us in love to be able to impart some things to them and some history to them so that we are not considered a cult, and that we can give them some insight, because as I told you last week, the Most High is getting ready to open up the minds of the people that are in the church. The church is getting ready to wake up, and when they do, it is going to be a whole new ballgame. So I know that we have brothers and sisters on the line that are Hebrew Israelites. Please feel free to join the conversation. But the first thing that I can say is that we have to go back in history. And then the easiest way to do that is to go back to the Old Testament. Understanding the Nation of Yehuda, you would have to understand who Judah was. And in Christianity, we call it Judah. You know, when I was in Christianity, they would say, you know, come on, Judah. Judah is about praise. Praise Judah. Judah is where the praise comes from, is through the line of Judah. So, well, we know in the Hebrew Israelite community and through the scriptures that there is no J in the Hebrew language. So instead of saying Judah, we say Yehuda, and that is where that comes from. Now, who is Judah? Judah or Yehuda was a man, and we understand him to be one of the sons of Jacob. So he is one of the 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons by four baby mamas. I mean, I'm just going to bring it down to layman's term. He had 12 sons by four baby mamas, and Judah is one of the sons from Jacob, and that is how we get the nation of Yehuda, which is what we call it instead of Judah. So that is where it all comes from. It comes under the lineage of King David, and we are the tribe that holds the crown, the scepter, and the authority. So that is why we call ourselves the nation of Yehuda, because we are operating or recreating the monarchy. So that is where all of that comes from. So whenever you're in church from now on and they say, come on, Judah, raise your hands, Judah, praise, it is really Yehuda with a Y because there is no J in the Hebrew language. Is that pretty clear?
Yes.
Shalom,
all right, so
this
that's why we call ourselves the nation of Yehuda. We are the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, and we are the original Hebrew Israelites of the scriptures. One of the other issues that I'd like to deal with is also the whole Gentile concept. We have been made to believe down through the years that we were Gentiles, and from a Gentile perspective, we were taught salvation. When we really are not Gentiles, we are the actual people of the scriptures, and which means it changes all of the perspectives in terms of prophecy, in terms of our prophetic direction and where we're going as a people and where we're ending up. In the biggest and the most important endeavor that we're about to experience is we are about to go back to our own land.
That is correct.
So this is the whole purpose for us doing, creating the nation of Yehuda. The Most High is getting us prepared scripturally and ethnically and professionally to be able to come into the church in love and be able to impart on our people who they are so we can get ready to go back home. And the reason why this is necessary is because we are the key to the end time moving in the right direction. And for so many years, we've been made to believe that the people who are a part of Israel right now are the original Jew, and that's not true. So I have another one. I think we have someone else on the line who wants to get into this conversation as well. Area code 513, go ahead. You're on the air. Do you have a question?
I do. Hello, my name is April from Ohio, and my question is, where is this line of thought backed up in Scripture?
Okay.
Where
are
we back? Brother Donny, go ahead.
if you read the Old Testament, which I think is in every book, they have the Old Testament, and then they have the New Testament script. It's in King James. You understand? You have to go, and it's in Genesis. Genesis will give you a good picture as to who those people were in ancient times and who they are today. They will give you a good perspective, you understand, something to work with, and it'll give you pause to do some research on your own also. The nation of Yehuda, under Yaina's direction, we have a class called the School of Knowledge. The School of Knowledge breaks down the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. I'd never had the opportunity to be a Christian. I came into the understanding 35 years ago, and that's where I continually observed the understanding through the Old Testament. It's a real good story, and you need to really take a look at it because it'll give you a better perspective on who you think you are and it'll give you a chance to do some research on your own. You understand? I know for a fact that the books are real and true because the Almighty told Abraham that we were going to go into captivity by ships, by people that our forefathers did not know. We spent 2,000 years in Africa, you understand, exiled in Africa, and after those 2,000 years, we were taken here, brought here by ships, to to America and all, and the four corners of the earth, and that's where we reside today. Now, in the course of that, you understand, we grabbed hold to all of the other deities under the sun, you understand, to stop the chains, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered. And that's what they did to us. So when we say that we're Christians, we latched on to these understandings because we wanted to save our lives. We thought that it was going to save our lives, but it didn't. You understand? Because now we're still being chained in these days. We're still being treated like slaves. Then also they got in Deuteronomy 28, and I'm sure that you heard about it. Deuteronomy 28 talks about the curse. There's no nation under the sun, you understand, that's been treated like those people that were treated like we've been treated. And if you read in Deuteronomy 28, it'll let you know each and every curse that we were under. No other nation has been under that curse. Not them so-called Europeans, Jews that call themselves Jews. They have not even been. We lost 100 million people came out of that region, came out of that continent called Africa. The Jews had 6 million people in Germany. So it's a big story. We need to take a look at it. You understand? You'll be excited once you start hearing some of these things. And I'll relinquish the mic.
Hallelujah. The lines are lighting up. We have people from all over that are calling in because you all are on the show. But I wanted to kind of centralize the question, where do we get this information from? Let me back up because in terms of us going home, and we just went through this in our school of knowledge, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 39, Ezekiel chapter 39 talks about, and I like to read it in the contemporary English version, what it says about us in terms of a nation and that we're going to be able to go home. Now, I'm going to read it in the King James Version so that you'll know, but if you go to the contemporary English Version, it breaks it down a whole lot better for us. And we start at verse number, verse number 21. It says, and I will set my glory among the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them. And then it says, so the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God, and from that day and forward. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they trespassed against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies, so they all fell by the sword, according to their uncleanliness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now I will bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel and shall be jealous for my name and will be jealous for my holy name. And after they have bore their shame and all their transgressions, whereby they have trespassed against me, when they dwelt safely in their land, and none made them afraid, when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations, then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathens, but I have gathered them unto their own land and have left none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face any more from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord. Now, that is what the King James Version says, but I want to read it to you in the Contemporary English Version because I like this one better because it clarifies things for us. We're going to read the same thing. It says, when I punish the nations of the earth, they will see the brightness of my glory. The people of Israel will know from then on that I am the Lord their God. Foreign nations will realize that the Israelites, were forced to leave their own land because they sinned against me. I turned my back on my people and let enemies attack and kill them. Their lives were wicked and corrupt, and they deserved to be punished. Now I will show mercy to the people of Israel and bring them back from the nations where they are living. They are Jacob's descendants, so I will bless them and show that I am holy. They will live safely in their own land, but will be ashamed when they remember their evil ways and how they disgraced me. Foreign nations will watch as I take the Israelites from the enemy land and bring them back home, and those nations will see that I am holy. My people will realize that I, the Lord their God, sent them away as prisoners, and now will bring them back to their own land. Never again will I turn my back on the people of Israel, and my spirit will live in them forever. I, the Lord, have spoken. So, I mean, I can go on and on and on. There's all kind of scriptures all through this Bible that talk about us going back home to our own land. Is that kind of answering some of the questions for you? Sister April, is that answering the questions for you, or do you need some more scriptures?
Not really. I understand where you're coming from, but I'll have to study that on my own because I just don't follow. I just
okay,
don't. I'm not in agreement with that.
Where the disconnect is.
Really? To me, like the first gentleman that spoke, he gave history, and I understand that to be history, but I guess I would have to really research and find out why we today are part of that lineage. I just don't, and it's because of how I was raised as a Christian, and I follow the New Testament, and I've never heard you guys speak anything on the New Testament. You mainly lean heavily on the Old Testament. So I'm not even sure, you know, one of my questions is, do you guys believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because I have yet to hear anybody say that, make that comment. I hear more that you rope them all going back to the motherland, but I haven't heard anybody talk about the Savior. So do you all believe that, or does the Hebrew Israelites, the black Hebrew Israelites, believe that Jesus Christ is actually the Son of God and not just a prophet, first of all?
Some of us do, and some of us don't. There are
really?
Some that do, and there are some that don't. Some people believe that, some people only believe in the Old Testament. There are only some that believe in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament. And then there are some people that believe in the whole book from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, in similarity to Christianity, it's almost like denominations. They have different beliefs in how they believe salvation is distributed among us. Some believe that it is through Yah. Some believe it is through Yahweh Shai, which we know his name to be that. And we do believe, I believe in the whole book from the beginning to the end. So
okay.
I believe in all of the New Testament and the Old Testament. And I have never hid that from anyone, so that's what we deal. But when we deal with beliefs, you have to understand your ethnicity because it all goes together.
Okay. Like I said, I have to research it, but I appreciate your opinion on it. But I have to research it more before I can say another word.
Well,
I understand.
You know, that's why, you know, that's why we have the School of Knowledge, because what we do is we start from the beginning. We start from the book of Genesis, and we work our way all the way through so that you will be able to see your lineage in the scriptures, because it's very important. And for, I know that this is very difficult for some people because they've never heard it before. And the scriptures are we've been given the scriptures from a standpoint, like I said, of a Gentile, and believing that all we need is the salvation in Jesus Christ and that's enough. But the reason why that we come against that is because we know that there's a prophetic journey that we have to take in order for any of the future prophecies to come to pass, and we're the key for that prophetic journey, but you have to know who you are first. And in understanding that we go through the lineage, he begot so-and-so, and he begot such-and-such, and he begot this one, and he begot that one, and that's in the Bible for a reason, because lineage is very important. And I'll cover some more things to give some clarity on that, because we are the Most High's chosen people. We are his people.
Let me try to share some more light. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Brother Donnie, go ahead.
Okay, you can't start in the middle and expect to get clarity. You have to start from the beginning. Most of our people have been taught New Testament understanding without going into the Old Testament to find out how we got to the New Testament. So we need to try to do that. That will give you more clarity than you could ever imagine. Because what we do, because in the Old Testament it says that Jacob is his firstborn. You understand? But then we got to go a little further in the Old Testament and said that a shoot from the tribe of Judah, coming from Jesse, who was David's brother, you understand, will reign as king in Judah. You understand? And, you know, so there's a lot of things that need to be addressed before you even get to the New Testament. Hallelujah.
So it's a lot. I mean, and I know it's a lot to have to deal with at one time. It's something you've never heard before. It's something that you've never experienced before. So, you know, like I said, we have to be very, very careful in how we bring this to you, because we don't want to confuse you. And understanding that, we try to make sure that we don't hurt anyone's feelings. But if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses is talking to the children of Israel, and he says that, Israel, you are the chosen people of the Lord your God, and that there are many nations on this earth, but he chose only Israel to be his very own. So if we can go through countless scriptures down through the Old Testament where Israel is chosen to be his. We are his people. We are the apple of his eye. You know, it says that he gives his laws and his statutes to Jacob, and no other nation has he ever dealt with, that he's the God of the Hebrews and none else. We can go through the scripture after scripture after scripture, and you can receive that, but you have to receive the enlightenment that you're Israel, and only the Most High can give you that. Right now, you know, this may sound kind of foreign to you, and he has to be the one to open up your eyes. So, you know, we don't want to confuse the situation at all, you know, but we want, you know, and we usually don't go through scriptures on this show, because it you have to be taught this information, and your eyes have to be open for you to even receive this information. Because, you know, I spent 25 years in Christianity. I was in, all in, and a lot of you on the phone know that. I was in 100%, you know, preached, prophesied, did the whole nine yards. You know, but one day I sat, and the Most High began to open up my eyes that it was more to the story than what I was told. And as I began to receive it, and I began to see it, he's still opening up my eyes. So, you know, the fact that we're having this conversation today is the beginning. It's the beginning, and it's a good beginning, because we're talking. And that's all we can do at this point, is begin to open up dialogue and to talk. But the Most High initially has to be the one to open up your eyes, because we can show you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, and you have to be able to receive it. So, you know, that's where we are now. I hope that I didn't confuse you anymore.
Oh, no, I'm not confused at all. Thank you very much.
Okay,
there's
great.
There's one thing that I wanted to bring to the understanding is that Jesus was a Jew. If there is a Jew, Jesus was a Jew. You understand?
Right,
so
he was talking about.
And from my understanding, like I said, I'm not very versed on Christian understanding, but he was talking about the understanding from the Jewish point of view. But the people that brought us this understanding in Christianity, they didn't tell you that he was a Jew. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you had to learn that way down the road here, you understand? Just here over the last 20 years, you're finding out that he was a Jew and that he spoke from the Jewish perspective. And I'll let that go.
And that is very true, Brother Donnell. That's a very good point. And this is one of the reasons why lineage is so important, because understanding his lineage, you have to understand that he was from the tribe of Judah or from Yehuda. He was actually a Hebrew Israelite, And when you break down the Hebrew Israelite, you know, and understand what the word Hebrew means and the lineage of Hebrew, and then you understand what Israelite means, because remember Jacob's name was changed to Israel. You do know that, right,
yes.
April?
Yes.
Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and that's how we became the Hebrew Israelites. So he was a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Judah, or in other words, Yehuda. So, you know, all of those things have to come out. But like I said, the best way to do this is to come to the class. The class is free. We have Christians in the class today. We have Christians and Hebrews in the class today. It's free. It's online. And all you need is a computer, access to the Internet. You log in. We do PowerPoint presentations. We walk through the scriptures chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and be able to show you your ethnicity in the scriptures so that you'll understand, because it's going to be the most powerful piece that you'll ever receive in terms of knowing who you are, because it gives us a different hope and we're going in a different direction. So do we
Thank
have
you.
Any other questions? Can we open up the lines to those people that are in the audience? If you guys would like to join in on the conversation, please feel free to do so, to push one. Prophetess Kelly, do you have any questions, or would you like to interject anything into the conversation?
Not at this time. I'm just listening.
Okay. Okay, so prophetically, because I have a couple prophets on the phone, and I have Prophetess Stacy on the phone, and I have Prophetess Kelly on the phone, prophetically, from a prophet standpoint, what direction is the church heading in right now?
An awakening.
Okay, and an awakening in what way?
Knowledge, more knowledge about who Jehovah is, who the Most High is, who Yahshua is, who Jesus is, who Christ is. I pretty much see us moving away from the church itself being in house into these different denominations. I see us moving away from that. I see us having gatherings as we're having today. You know, coming together and enlightening people. Because what I'm seeing in churches today is that we are, you know, ministering to people over and over, the same people every Sunday, when we should be out there evangelizing the world.
And do you feel like that do you feel like the church is effective?
Not in this season. No, I don't.
Wow. That's pretty. Prophetess Stacy, how do you feel in terms of what the statement that she just made? Do you feel like it's effective in what it's doing and what it's providing for the people?
Well, coming from a pastoral perspective, I hear a lot that the people are tired doing the same old things over and over. So, you know, from the whole, the church is looking for more of God, and they are open to more direction and where they have to go to get there. As far as them being effective, they are somewhat effective to the people that they want to be effective to, if you can put it like that. But I agree with her when it comes to the ministry part. It's usually the same people, and now the church is geared more towards teaching and training to be able to send the people out.
Oh, okay. So you're saying they're geared toward training and sending the people out for recruiting other people in?
Yes, more towards who they are, where they have come from. Like you said, at one point it was just salvation, and salvation was all that we needed. But everybody that sits in the church know that there are more pieces to that Holy Bible that they hold, and now people are asking questions. Well, who are we? Where did we come from? What's next? You know, what's the next phase? What's the next step? when you get in deeper into ministry and they start giving you offices and you're supposed to function in a certain way and things don't go the way you expect them, it poses you to ask questions. And now people are asking questions, you know, about the Holy Bible. Who are we in the Scriptures? Where can you find us in the Scriptures? Because growing up, all we knew was that maybe we did come off of the slave ship, and then after the ship docked, there was no information about who we are and where we've come from. And now as we read ourselves in the Scriptures, now the church wants to know, who are we in those Scriptures? We do have a lineage. We are the children, God's chosen children, and we do have this power, and they want to know more about it. And I believe that this is a good tool for the church to know more about who they are. But like I said earlier, there are some fears that come along with challenging them because they think that you're challenging their salvation or you're challenging what they know or it's witchcraft or it's a cult. So I think this is a very good thing because it'll teach us some knowledge instead of being so close-minded. And I do want to say that there is a whole lot of things out there that will lead people astray, and God is going to have to open up the minds and the eyes of people in order for them to learn about who they are.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And the issue is, this is the issue. I can tell you right now that everything that you learn, you will have to just discard and start over again. I can tell you that right now, but I wouldn't do it because there's a process that everyone has to go through. And only the Most High is skilled enough when he opens up your eyes to take you through that process safely. And I think where the problem comes in at is when people start questioning, you know, well, what is this? Or is this really working for me? Or let me listen and see exactly what they're talking about. And they go on the Internet and they start searching information and they come across Hebrew Israelites that they may see on the Internet or on Pow Talk or Daily Motion, and you see some of the groups that are out there on the street corners that are preaching the word, they get some information, and some of the information is powerful, but the presentation and the way they present themselves and some of their conversation is so derogatory that people, they back away from it and they shy away from it, like, nope, we're not going to be bothered with that because that's the devil, because God doesn't act like that. So what we tell people at the Nation of Yehuda, because the whole purpose for structuring the Nation of Yehuda is to be able to bring the church into a consciousness when the Most High opens their eyes where they can come and get an intelligent answer. They can come into a nation that is already formed for people to be able to move in a certain direction. And the fact that we have prophets and pastors on the line today is powerful because it means that the Most High is opening up the understanding and you're least ready to listen. So what we tell people is to steer clear from YouTube, steer clear from Daily Motion, from Pow Talk, until you get a foundation and that you're able to be that you're able to understand exactly what we're trying to say, because everything that you know in terms of Christianity has to be totally reversed, because you're the people that Christ is talking to when in Matthew chapter 15 when he says, I was not sent before the house of Israel. He came for us to be able to give us the information, and this is my belief. So talking from a Christian standpoint, you have to reverse the things that you've been taught, because from a Gentile perspective, and I say this all the time, the way we've been taught is that the story is almost over. Jesus is coming. The end time is here, and the only thing left is for us to wait for Jesus to come and get us from a Gentile perspective. But from an Israelite perspective, we know that the story is just beginning, because the beginning starts when we come into the consciousness of who we are and how we move in the direction that prophecy has given us. And I have a brother on the line who has come aboard to help in this perspective, because he was once a Christian pastor in up in the high echelons of some of these mega pastors that have come into the knowledge of who they are. So I'm going to get him on the line real quick so that we can talk together. Brother Yehoshua, are you there?
Hey, shalom, sister. How you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Good. Did you have a comment that you wanted to make?
Absolutely. One of the things that all of us need to take or consider, especially when you're transitioning or you're leaving religion, and when I mean Euro-Gentile ideals, I mean Euro because we know that all Gentiles are not European, is number one, is the piece about your identity. There has to be one of the cornerstones there. The identity comes when, because, for example, when I came up in the church and when I was pastoring and then the circles I was with, identity was important to one degree, but when the prosperity movement came in the early 90s, the emphasis about identity was eradicated, because in order to get some of the money people, the mega ministers to come to these local churches, you had to denounce and stop that type of teaching. It's interesting because you can go to a Korean church that's pastor's Korean, the Bible's in Korean, images are Korean. You go to a Latino church, the Bible's in Spanish. But whenever we, as a people, want to talk about identity, reconnect to our heritage, it becomes a problem. And it becomes a problem primarily amongst our own people. They want to interject, why do you want to put race in? But yet and still, we're the only people on the planet that has an ethnic name that's an adjective. Black. It's a description. And yet we're not connected to a country. You know, everybody else, are Koreans from Korea, Chinese from China, Italian from Italy. Where's black from? And even African-American is two continents. So that's one issue. Then the other issue is when one realizes that they want to possess truth, oftentimes is we take what we've learned and blackened it. We blacken it. It still doesn't make us connected to the Most High. The thing that happened to us, we went through this transition as a church, and I had to come to the conclusion that I don't know anything. We have to empty our cups, because you cannot fill your cup with the truth of Yah and it's still filled or still occupied with other things. One has to empty it first if you want a full understanding. That's for anybody. You cannot fill a cup up and say, I have grape juice in it, but it was water or something else in it before. It's tainted. So our understanding becomes tainted, and that's why we have a barrage of confusion amongst Israel, especially in a lot of these camps. So one thing that I would suggest to anybody, if you want to know God, go to the part of the book where he's speaking. And that's what they call the Old Testament, which I refer to as Tanakh or the Hebrew text. And then when you see that, you will uncover some things there that have already been implied. All things have already been stated. You will understand what the covenant was. You will understand your identity. You will understand what your nationalistic responsibility is. And it got to a place after I started understanding that, I realized, wow, I don't need anybody else's testimony because I got access right to Yah, right there. And I don't need the confusion. Yet I still use other tools and other books, but as long as it confirms what I already know. Because the thing is, we, like you said, people go on YouTube, they get confused, especially if you don't have that foundation. You go on Blog Talk, you go on PayPal, Pal Talk, all these different venues and get confused. If you don't have a foundation, and what I mean by a foundation, a Hebraic, not Greek, a Hebraic understanding of Scripture, you will be lost and confused by this mayhem that exists out here. So it's imperative that we go back to the beginning, the Bereshit, the Genesis, and look at that whole thing again. We were told many times that, we were told many times that it was an apple. That was a source of knowledge that we were not supposed to partake in, of that tree. A source of knowledge, and where do we get most of our knowledge from? A lot of these Bible commentaries that were not written by our forefathers, they were written by the descendants of our slave masters. You know? And so we keep these doctrines that make us fearful to apprehend truth. When yet we read, I believe it's in John 8, and it talks about, and you shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free. But just knowing is to apply it. But yet we say this, but we are afraid to apprehend truth. And we hear things that are unfamiliar to us, and we put our resistance up. See, as Israel, we were charged to be the light, even to the Gentile. Light is energy, is motion.
Excuse me.
And that being said, you look at something. Light, in its purest sense, look at insects, for example. Light repels those bugs that are there to do harm, but it also attracts other kind of bugs. And we got to ask ourselves, even in a common sense, what kind of bug are we, a roach or a moth? You know?
I have a question.
Go for it.
I have a question. Since we're on the subject, why do you think that when African-American or black, whatever you want to call us, search for the truth and look into our history, that people will make it a bad thing or we'll get flack even from our own brothers and sisters?
Because of fear. Because we remember that one of the bywords that we recall was spook. Because one of the greatest prohibitors for black folk is the scare tactics. If you touch that, you're going to burn in hell. If you touch that, you do this, you're going to burn in hell. All this stuff, so in the back of our mind that was plaguing us, you're going to get it. All of this stuff. So anything that's unfamiliar, boom. I'll give you another perfect example of that. If you were even to this day in many settings, if someone would tell you, listen, I'm going to a naturopathic physician who specializes in herbs. Oh, no, you don't want to touch that. Spirits in that. Oh, look, I'm going to practice yoga from a standpoint of learning how to stretch and get circulation. Oh, you don't want to touch that. Oh, I'm going to do martial arts because I like the sport. Oh, you don't want to do that. That's what has been programmed in our heads from way back. We're at fault of that because we never questioned. We were even told, don't even question God. Yet, the scripture says, you speak and you shall find, ask and shall be given. So what happens is we're scared because a common thing that I found with a lot of our people is, okay, if I take on this blackness, if I reconnect to my African ancestry, what am I going to say to my white neighbors? What am I going to say to my white counterparts? And then from a pastoral perspective, what am I going to say to my congregation? That I'm wrong? That I've been wrong? I led them the wrong way? And my question is, what is wrong with that? They're not your people anyway. They're the Creator's people. I had to stand before that and put the people, it's just like the scripture Elijah said, look, today I present to you life and death, blessings and curses. We've been wrong. Show them. But because we've been told, we've been taught, you got to understand, we've been taught to be Negroes. That's why people in the 60s were scared of people like Malcolm X, and then before that, Marcus Garvey, because he was talking about your blackness. We love smooth stuff, and change is very difficult for most of our people. But the thing
all
is,
right,
the responsibility is on us.
Question.
We have to make the change.
Oh, let me ask this question real quick. So from a pastoral standpoint and from a prophet standpoint, do you think the church is ready to listen or hear from us in terms of coming in teaching ethnicity? Are they ready for that? From either Prophet Stacy or both?
I didn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
I said, do you think the church is ready for us to come in and to teach ethnicity and teach who we are in terms of and why that's important for salvation? Do you think that they're ready for that right now?
I think for the most part, some of the church may be ready to hear truth about ethnicity and culture and where they've come from, and the other half will have a closed ear, like the brother or young man said, because of fear. A lot of the church is not aware of, you know, the Hebrew Israelites and what they really stand for because of the isms and schisms, or they've been scared of, you know, hocus pocus, witchcraft, or cult, or, you know, occult. So when you say you're going to go into church and teach them about culture and where they come from, it will not be well received because the eyes have not been opened and there has been no understanding of who you are, what your nation stands for, or they think you're trying to come against their salvation. But for the most part, for those people that are tired of the same old Sunday morning service and they know it's more to this than what's being told, but that, you know, is only going to be a select people. For those people, they will be willing to sit down, talk, and learn about where they come from because, like the brother said, you know, when you go into a Chinese church, they have a Chinese Bible, and they can relate. But we have nothing to relate to, and I think we are at the day and age, we're going into 2015, where people are seeking, especially African-Americans. And if I can put this on the table, it's so many of our black men dying in the streets now, we know that we need to do something different. Our daughters are having babies at a young age, and it's more men locked up in the penitentiary that we know something has to change. But we know that we have been a people that have been oppressed, depressed, and suppressed, that it has to be something special about us. Even in the corporate world, you have them going through, and we need to understand why it has been like this. So like I said, I don't mean to be lengthy, but those Christians that know it's more than just Sunday morning service, three fast songs, three slow songs, altar call and go home, they're waiting and willing to learn more about themselves and who they are.
Am I still online?
Yeah,
one thing to add, because that was excellent point, I believe, Pastor. If I can add to that, there has to be strategic people that are really called for this. I know for me, part of my calling in life, because I've had several dreams about it. Even before I left the major church I was part of, I started my own church, was to go into the Christian church and teach. Because if you don't understand the environment and understand the language, understand the spirit there, you'll be chased out. Because the resistance primarily comes from the pastor. And it's, in that same resistance you will see in Israelite camps. I'm never going to forget. In 2005, I spoke at an Israelite conference, and I was not on the program to speak, but I was asked to speak after lunch. I stood up and said what the Most High put on me to say. And you can see the people were apprehensive to respond. And I said, most of you all agree with what I'm saying, but you're looking to see how your leader is going to respond first and see if it's okay to respond. That's when they loosened up. So there's a skill set and a specific anointing on individuals to do certain things that everybody can't do. And what we have to understand, because, you know, the church, they use the term body of believers. And we have that same understanding with stones. And one pastor talked about lively stones. If we understand each every one of us' purpose, everybody's not assigned to do the same thing. There's a way to do this. I believe, for the most part, the church is ready. The resistance is leadership, because in many instances, like I heard another friend of mine say, that the pastor said, listen, I believe what you're saying, but you're messing with my money. That's real. I'm talking real talk. Real talk. You're messing with my money now. And he doesn't understand. See, the pastor or the bishop missed it. Because if you're bringing truth to a people, that you're realizing that you've been going down the wrong way, not on purpose, because I believe that these people are sincere, yet still I believe there are snakes in the pulpit. We all know this. However, but if you tell the people and how you present it, if they already trust you and believe you, understand your sincerity, and if they say, hey, listen, I'm bringing something to you, and we're going to start not with talking about what you believe, how we believe, let's bring the thing about identity. Then you can build upon that. Because with identity comes responsibility. What is that responsibility to serve the Most High? What does that mean to build his kingdom? What does that mean to forsake the ways of the heathen? Et cetera, et cetera. You build upon that. Because that's one thing. Because I would go into a place and say, what is your name? Ethnically. They would say black. I say, where is black on the map? Nobody can point to. Well, where's African American? Okay, Africa's a continent. What part of Africa? I said, now let's go back and then show people. This is where how my transformation came. Once I saw certain things, my eyes opened up, and the hunger that did not exist there all of a sudden started coming. And that's what will happen to all of us. Sometimes you got to trigger something to spark an appetite. Why does marketing and advertising know how to do that? They use music. They use colors. All of these things are natural elements. We got to get into our creative mind. That mind that was taken from slavery, and get our mind back, what I call the Yah mind, get that mind back to understand we got to do things unconventional, not religiously. And don't bring
okay, I'm going to have to interject here a little bit, Brother Yehoshua, one moment, please. Anyone else that would like to join the conversation, we ask you to push one so we can get it started, because I knew this was going to bring about a lot of dialogue, and it's a beautiful thing. And we could break down several things. You know, the one of the questions that I had for the Christian panel is, you know, do the people in Christianity believe that they're serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Absolutely. The church is, they believe that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. And he is the lineage of the God, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But mm-hmm. I had a question for the young man, or maybe you all, that, you know, when you present this, the question will be, you know, why do I need to know my lineage? Why do I need to know where I come from? I'm saved. You know, all of that is, like we say, under the blood or behind me now. I'm a new creature in Christ. So why do I need to know my lineage? Why do I need to know where I come from when, you know, now that I'm a per se Gentile and I have been adopted into it, because that's what they told us, that we were adopted into it. When you talk about lineage, they want to know why now. Why do we need this to go further? Because some of the people, and most of the people that have been saved, have been bought out of some heinous places. And I can testify that myself, that when I got saved in Jesus' name, that I got fully delivered from everything that I was in the world. So when, you know, these people, or when the church is being presented with, now you need to understand your history, now you need to understand your lineage, what will be the purpose? Are you gonna tell me that I need to change some things, that I haven't been doing it the right way? You know, now you are challenging their God, and that's going to be the major focus. Is now you're challenging my salvation, not so much as telling me who I am, and that will turn people away when you challenge their salvation, especially when that's been the God that has delivered them from all kinds of hell and destruction, and they're going to be just a little bit leery. So I think that it needs to be clear. Just exactly the teachings of the past, where we come from, but to tell a person, and that's why people are so leery, to tell a person that what you have been believed in for so long is not the right way, or you're doing it wrong, or that's not the God, or the God that you're supposed to serve, a lot of people are just not going to come because they know their testimony and their trials where, you know, God, the Most High, has brought them out of. They may not have the full story, but when you challenge somebody's belief system, it's going to be a hard challenge. But, and I say this, but people are open to understanding, and they're open to hearing you. Like the brother said, it has to be strategically presented a certain way so you don't challenge a person's testimony. Because if somebody on the street was to tell me that the God that I serve wasn't the God that I'm supposed to be serving, then they would be challenging everything that the Most High has brought me out of, even though my eyes are not open as far as they should be per se, but I know the God that has done what he's done for me. The Most High has brought me out of some things. Yahweh has brought me out of some things. Yahawashah has brought me out of some things. I know him for myself, but I'm not where I need to be yet. But when you challenge that, now you're telling me I don't know him, and that's going to be the problem. And I think, and just from a Christianity perspective, you have to approach this with ease and be strategic about it when it comes to the church, because they're willing to learn. It's just how you approach it.
Okay, and I think, Brother Yehoshua, I'm going to get right back to you. Just give me a moment, because I have a couple of questions that I would like to ask all of the women that have graced our presence on our show today, and we really appreciate you being here. But I want to ask a couple of questions, and I just want you to answer them for me from your perspective. I know that in Christianity there's a new wave going on with homosexuality. We have been watching it very carefully. We've seen where there's bishops that are homosexual. We have the homosexual issue in the church in terms of the pastors, the choir directors, some of the choir members, the singers, and things like this. And the reason why I ask you that question is because I want you to answer a question for me. Serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, does he permit the lifestyle of homosexuality or the alternative lifestyle of homosexuality to be the representation for his word?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Most High God does not promote homosexuality. That's why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And if he did promote it, he would have to go back and apologize for destroying Sodom and Gomorrah for that very fact. He does not agree with sodomy. That's man doing that. That is man's idea. That's man's flesh, that's man's desire, and as far as that being Christianity, that's not Christianity as a whole. That is some people that have read the Bible and interpreted the scriptures the way they want to interpret the scriptures so they can satisfy their fleshly desires. But for those people that believe in God and have dedicated their lives to this word and dedicated their lives to the Most High, they know it's wrong. They do not agree with it. Just like you said with Hebrew Israelites, some believe in Old Testament, some don't believe in this. Some, you have different types of Christians that are walking this walk. And for those that are dedicated to the word and know the word and stand by the word and live the word and want to know more about the God that we serve, they are not in agreement with that, and neither does the Most High. He's not in agreement with that, and that's the God that we serve. I don't know the God they serve, but that's the God that we serve is not in agreement with that.
Okay, I appreciate that. Now, I have a couple questions. I just want to ask these questions. I want to know what your feedback is. Now, knowing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, does he promote worship on Sunday?
Knowing a little bit of history, the Sabbath day is Saturday. Sunday service came from Greco-Roman, where I can't remember the man, Constantine,
made a pact with the Christians that if they wanted to stop the Christians from being tormented and killed, that Constantine told the Christians that I'm going to give you a day where you can worship your God. But if I'm quoting it right, because you're making me go all the way back, I'm going to give you a day where you can worship your God, because the Christians were being tormented and killed, and Constantine said he got this vision and that Christianity wasn't a bad thing. So he made a pact with Christians back in the Greco-Roman days, and he told them, I'm going to give you a day where you can worship your God, but in order for you to worship your God, you're going to have to put these certain statues in the building and blah, 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 blah. And that's where Sunday morning service came in. Now, I want to say, now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob marked a certain day for worship, and that day is on Saturday. Now, why we choose to still worship on Sunday is because of religion and because that's how they were taught. Now, we do have some Christians today that are understanding and realizing that we have been worshiping on the wrong day, and some people are switching their worship day to Saturday. But for those that continue to worship on Sunday, it's because they're just following the lead of another man, and some people just don't know. And it's just tradition, it's religion, and if I'm clear with my history, and I know you'll help me out here with the history thing, but that came from the order of Constantine when the church was being ridiculed and the people were being killed, and that's where the Sunday morning worship came in effect at.
And I do appreciate the history, but let me ask the question again, and I'm not being sarcastic, but I'm going somewhere with this. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, does he promote Sunday worship?
I'm going to say it again. He does not promote Sunday worship, but like you know and I know, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is not going to hold you accountable if you don't know. And I can say for a fact that a lot of people's eyes have not been opened and they don't know. So I don't believe God is going to hold people accountable because they really think that they are worshiping him and honoring him. They just don't know. Now, once your eyes have been opened and you choose to do it anyway, that's when you're held accountable. But it doesn't.
Okay, I agree with you. And I'm not,
no,
like I said,
no,
I'm not challenging
right.
you or anything.
Right.
I'm just going in a direction.
Right.
So
right. No,
the answer
no,
then
he,
is.
No, he does not condone Sunday morning worship. But for those that do not know, he will not hold them accountable because they have not been taught. It's just been tradition, what our grandmothers and grandmothers and grandmothers just made us go to church on Sunday, so nobody asked any questions.
Okay. Now, my next question to you all on the panel is this. Are we, and when I say we, I mean those that believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are we required to keep the law?
Yes, we're
now,
required.
When you say the law, because there are many laws, and
mm-hmm.
that's where I don't want to say the debate is going to come in with Christianity, because according to the New Testament and the Bible, when Jesus or Yahushua, whatever you want to call it, came on the scene, we didn't have to do the Old Testament laws. He did away with the law. But
okay, so he's done away with the law. Okay.
Okay,
that's what I want to know.
He fulfilled the law, the Old Testament.
Okay, so he fulfilled the law. Okay. So then my next question, and these are the questions that are going to come up as we begin to open dialogue. Because I understand you're absolutely right. People will say, you know, well, a lot of people don't know that the Sabbath is on Saturday. So we have kept Sunday morning worship because that is when the Sabbath is, and all of these things. So let me ask you a question. I'm just from your knowledge of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's just I'm just asking basic questions because these are the questions that are going to come about. Are we permitted? Then let me ask you this question before we do anything. So what is the definition of sin. According to the scriptures.
According to the scriptures, sin is the transgression of the law.
Okay. So if sin is the transgression of the law, and we are told in Christianity, because I was too. I was too. I'm under the same guidance that you all were under. We were told that we were no longer having to keep the law. Then what law are we transgressing when we sin?
I'm not understanding the question.
Okay. Let me say it again. Repeat for me, because we have a lot of people on this line, and there are Christians on this line in Hebrews. Knowing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because we're not dealing with Yahweh Shai yet. We're going to get to that. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, according to the Bible, what is sin? You just said it. You can repeat it again. You just said it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sin is the transgression of the law.
Okay. Sin is the transgression of the law.
That's the definition. That's the definition of sin, transgression
of
the law.
That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Sin is the transgression of the law. So then if sin is the transgression of the law, and we are supposedly being saved from sin, then what law do we transgress when we sin?
Well, that's one law that Jesus said, you are to love your brother like you love yourself. And that is the first law, to love your brother. And then to love thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. Some people say that is a law, Some people still go by the Ten Commandments. And those are still laws that he had in effect. So when you say what law, the question is going to come up. There, he made some foundational laws in the New Testament. Then he had some foundational laws in the Old Testament that Jesus has fulfilled. So it depends on what law you're talking about.
Okay. So let's go to one in particular. Are we allowed under the New Testament, and we're just bringing this up as conversation, and we have a lot of people. When I tell you it's a lot of people on this line, it's a lot of people listening on this line, because we've never done this before. We've never had Christian women pastors, Christian women prophetess, and Christian women ministers on the line, and we appreciate you all doing this, and we are not by any means trying to be insultive or challenging or anything, but I'm opening up dialogue so that the Hebrew Israelites understand your perspective, so when the time comes to make the transition to be able to go into the church, that they will understand from your point of view what you all believe and how you believe it. And the reason why we're doing this is because we send this show out to thousands of people after it's over. It goes to all kind of pastors. We send it all over the country once this show is over. So my question then is this. Let's do something simple. Are we allowed to eat anything that we want to eat? According to scripture.
According to the New Testament, and I don't have my Bible in front of me, and sometimes my memory fails, that we are allowed to eat anything that we want to as long as you pray over it.
According to the New Testament, the New Testament law, we are allowed to eat. Anybody can eat anything they want as long as they pray over it.
In the New Testament, he says, and I'm paraphrasing, that he says something to the fact that don't call something that he says is clean unclean. And that's what they stick by. And as long as you pray over it, that it is okay to eat. But in the Old Testament, they were very specific about the things that they could not eat. And pork was one of them.
and there was a difference between animals with the hoof and the animals with the split hoof. You know, you had the clean and the unclean animals. But when Jesus came on the scene and he did away with all of that, our belief is once you pray over it, then it's okay because it's clean. Now, there are some health issues when it comes to eating certain foods today. That's why some Christians are not eating certain things, and it still has some spiritual significance. But today it doesn't have that much weight what to eat and what not to eat, because our belief is that when Jesus said it's clean, then it's clean. And if we pray over it, then, you know, it's okay to eat.
Okay. All right. Now, what I want to say to everybody that's on the line, because I know a lot of you have pushed one, and I want to say something. We are going to open up the lines in a few minutes, but I'm going to caution you to be very careful with these, because these are our brothers and sisters. And these are our sisters in Christianity, and we have to show love. And we have to be very careful with our approach, how we ask questions, how we answer questions. They believe in the New Testament, so we don't want to do anything or say anything in terms of whether or not you believe the New Testament is real or whether you doesn't believe it's real. We're just trying to establish an open dialogue because we have never done this before. So this is a key indicator for us that the Most High is getting ready to open up the doors of the church, and we are getting ready to walk in there to give them this truth. I'm telling you all, I've been trying to tell you for a long time that this was going to happen, and this is the beginning of it all. So according to Scripture, Pastor, Isaiah chapter 66 is a very key verse when it comes to, and this is what we use to debate the, you can eat anything as long as you bless it. That is not true. We're going to find that scripture, and then we're going to deal with that. But when you go to Isaiah chapter 66, he's talking about the end times. And verse number 15 says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree in the midst, eating swine flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord." So it is not okay to eat pig. It is not okay to eat swine. Eve, you cannot bless swine to be clean. It is against the laws. Now, when we deal with the laws, we deal with the ceremonial laws, which are our high holy days. We have been commanded to keep those forever. When we deal with the dietary law is given to us as a people as to what to eat that is clean and what to eat that is unclean. Those are the laws that we, and when we deal with the moral law, when we talked about homosexuality, when we talked about whether a man could marry his uncle's wife, or whether we talked about the different sodomy issues, those are our moral laws that we have to keep as a nation. He has given us those moral laws to keep as a nation, and it's no different than the laws that they have passed now to say homosexuality is okay and it's a way of life and we all have to accept it. So there are things, these are the things that when we say Hebrew Israelite and when we say ethnicity, we have to come in to be able to give to our people so that they don't find themselves in a dangerous position with the Most High. Because when it comes to salvation, the salvation is in honoring and keeping his commandments. So this is why it is imperative when the time comes that we're able to walk into this arena and be able to share this information with the church and the body as a whole. And that is why we're very gentle and we're very cautious as to how we present ourselves. So do you all have any questions before I open up the panel? Because we have a lot of people that have been holding to push one, and I'm going to open up the lines.
No, I don't have any more questions.
Okay, let me go to area code 757. Go ahead, your line is open. 757-619, and then we're going to go to 678. Area code 757, your line is open. A lot of times they put their phone on mute, and I know she's been holding for a moment, so I'm going to go move down, and I'm going to go to area code 678. If you could go ahead, your line is open. Area code 678. We're going to put him back online. We're going to go to Brother Yehoshua. Area code 443, go ahead, you're on the air.
Excellent. First of all, I think that I'm excited. I'm sort of like overwhelmed about this exciting dialogue because it's long overdue, but this is the season for it. A few things. In Matthew chapter 5, the verses I'm reading from a text, it's an awesome version of the Bible called the Scriptures because it really gives a Hebraic understanding and you can put in the proper names back in there. But it says, truly, starting with verse 18, he says, for truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one yard or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heavens. And this is talking about as far as I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, but to complete it. Understanding what that really means, complete is not done away with, because otherwise it would be a contradiction in what I refer to as Yeshua was said right here. He said, I've done away with it, but yet he's saying, do not think I've come to destroy the Torah and the prophets. I did not come to destroy it, meaning to do away with it, because that's what destroy means. But then he says, whoever then breaks none of the least of these commands and teaches men to do so. That's saying teach them, hey, I can eat shrimp, I can eat crab, I can eat pork. He said they would be considered least. I didn't say that. He said it. But also, in the book of John, First John chapter 2, it says, and by this we know that we know him if we guard his commands. The ones who say, I know him, and do not guard his commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. That's what put me up against the wall and said, uh-oh. Because history shows through the children of Israel, whenever our people violated the law, because the word law sometimes is a tricky word, because when people think of law, they think of legalism. So that's what I refer to as the covenant, or the Torah, or our Constitution. But whenever we violated that, we lost our power. We were conquered. We were enslaved. But whenever we kept it, we were empowered, and we could not be broken. So it's no wonder Constantine, because Constantine hated Hebrews. No wonder he could change the law, because Constantine was a chief high priest over paganism. That's why every day of the week is named after, in English, is named after a different type of deity. Like Sunday is named after the sun god. Like Easter is named after Eostra, the sun god. So to take away from the Sabbath or the Shabbat, because this paganism is about worshiping of the sun. So all of this is connected. To get our people away from the law is to take away their source and their power. So understand that. If we want to get to our identity, that's why I said identity, and then with that responsibility is to keep the laws, the commandments, and the precepts. Because with that, you can't even judge you. If you're the one who wants to keep the law, you can't even judge it properly. You have to do it with righteousness.
Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to go on. We're going to move down to area code 678. We're going to try them again. Area code 678, go ahead. You're on the air. I think they may have pushed one by accident. But and to reiterate what the brother said, let me try area code 757. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Kane, that's Sergeant Barrett Bennett. Can I be heard this time?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
All right. Hallelujah. I'm sorry for not coming up the last time. I want to first give the Most High the glory, the Elohim, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And having said that, I just wanted to really applaud you for this conversation. Such a timely conversation. I had raised my hand a while ago to respond to a couple of things I heard, but I wanted to, of course, acknowledge the questions that you asked most recently, which were great questions, and even show love and respect to the sister pastor that was answering those questions that she answered, I feel, with truth and, you know, understanding of that. Now, having said that, I am an Israelite, a Hebrew Israelite, with an understanding of the Old Testament. And it's just a conversation I believe that is timely, and I understand exactly what you're saying. I wanted to go over just a couple of quick statements that I heard on earlier, because, and I'll end with a question, and I promise to be brief. I heard that someone say about messing with my money, and that was just an excerpt. And how does my white neighbor think of me? That was an excerpt. I heard Jesus was a Jew. Jesus is coming. The Old Testament is where Yahweh speaks. So, of course, okay, that's what I heard because I had a question, but I'm going to go in. Why do I need to know my lineage, my heritage? As Israelites, we must be clear there's only one Yahweh. These are just a couple of things I had written down. And my question, because what I'm hearing from this conversation is how do we as Hebrew Israelites kind of make sense of Christianity? And that's a conversation and an important topic. But I would ask you, as a keeper of the Old Testament, how do those who consider themselves messianic make sense to us who think of ourselves as Old Testament keepers? You know, I don't see the direct correspondence, like the lineage, you know, the lineage of the prophets, the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all coming from Shem. I don't see the continuity from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So, of course, I don't understand the understanding and acceptance of Jesus, especially given the first commandment of thou shalt have no other God before me, or something like Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So those are things that I would love to have a little more understanding on from a messianic perspective, and I want to just, again, share that love and respect for brothers and sisters. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, well, and those are the questions. Like she said, she wants to understand the lineage. When you talk about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you're getting into lineage understanding from Noah. From Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. We were always told that we came from the lineage of Ham, that we were under the curse of Canaan, and that is why we were in captivity. Well, we are not from the lineage of Ham. We are from the lineage of Shem, which means we are a direct descendant of Abraham, which is Shem is the ancestor of Abraham, and that is what we do in the School of Knowledge. If you would like to get in more in-depth information about this, how we teach and how we go in, because every one of the prophets that is in the scripture was a Hebrew Israelite. Every one of the books that we talk about in the Bible is written a Hebrew Israelite. And that is why we have to get this knowledge out so that they understand we do have laws we have to keep. We do have ceremonial laws that we have to participate in. We do have to prepare ourselves for the Exodus and returning back to our land. That what happened in 1948 when they supposedly set this farce that the Jews went back to the motherland and everything else has happened already, that the only thing we have left to look for now is Jesus is coming to get us. All of that was propaganda. We are the original people that sets the key for the whole end time prophecies to take place. Now, if you're interested in joining the school, our newcomers class is on Thursday at 7 o'clock. It is free. All you need is a computer and internet, and we have PowerPoint presentations. It's an open forum where you can ask questions. We dig, we research, we study, we go through each book scripturally, and we come down through the lineage of Noah's three sons. We break down who those nations are, where they are today, how they play a part in what we're doing, who we are as a nation, understanding our lineage, and we bring it all the way down through the Old Testament, and then we're going to go into the New Testament. So we are doing all of this, and the way to get this information, and everyone get a pencil, is email NOYDOSK. It is the Nation of Yehuda, the director of the School of Knowledge. They will send you the link and the information you need to come up online, and we start promptly at 7 o'clock. You need a phone, you need an internet, and you need a computer, and we study for an hour and a half once a week. And it's so powerful that most of the people that were in our class were Christians, and they have come to the knowledge that they are not Gentiles, that they are Hebrew Israelites, and then we're moving into the prophetic journey that we have to take. So this is the purpose for all of this, and I appreciate, sis, you being very gentle with our guests because they are our family, and we have to show love, and we have to be there for them to understand all of it as it pertains to salvation, as it pertains to us leaving and going back to our land, as it pertains to us reclaiming our lineage, what it does for the world, the economy, for the nations at hand. So we want to make sure that we have that information out there. I'm going to go back to area code 678 and see if he wants to.
Can I say something really fast?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
For those that are sitting on the panel, because we decided to come on the panel with love and with respect, and we don't have to tell each other to be respectful, we want to know, why do you keep putting that out there like that? Because if they're going to talk to us, I would rather them be themselves, because right there, to some people that are listening that really want to get some knowledge, that can be a turnoff. When you put it out there, I want you to be respectful. I want you to show love. And if you don't show love and you say that you are servants of the Most High God, that throws up red flags right there to us. So, you know, some people that are listening are wondering why you have to tell people to show love to people that they should show love to anyway, because we come with love. We come just to get some understanding. We just come to get some knowledge and hopefully that we can share, but we don't have to tell each other now, be respectful and show love.
I'm glad you said that, and that's a very good point. Let me explain to you why I say it and I do what I do. Because in Israel, when a person wakes up out of a coma, some people wake up calm, some people wake up hungry, some people wake up angry, some people wake up fighting. And those emotions spill over into their presentation at times. There are a lot of people in Israel that feel like they have all of the answers and that no one's right but them, just like the church. Some people feel like they are the Hebrew Israelite guardians of the Holy Grail, just like some of us thought we was the guardian of the mercy seat in church. It's all of those things are there. You know, so when people that are part of the Nation of Yehuda know, we don't have to say that to them, because we all understand the importance of what's happening right now. But there are people calling in from all over the country that we don't know, and we do not know how they represent themselves. So we have to be very gentle with you, because we could go into some areas that would literally change and prove it, that could literally change everything that you've been taught everything to shut down, and we could say and prove it through the scriptures that could shut down everything that you've literally been taught. But because we understand Ezekiel 37 and the valley of the dry bones and all of the things that are happening to us as a people, we have to tell the people that are not as mature as some of us are to be gentle, because it is a slow, progressive thing that you have, the Most High has to open up your eyes to what we're saying, and that is why we keep making that statement. You know, don't just jump down on them and give information. Even in the school that we have, it's certain information that we just don't give. We don't give it because they're not ready to it. It's like the scripture said, you know, you can't feed a baby meat. And you have to give them the sincere milk of the word. Well, guess what? That milk comes at the age that you are right now, because as we had to do, we had to learn all over again from the perspective of being a Hebrew Israelite, because the concept and the journey is different. So that's why we say what we say. We don't really have an understanding of where everybody is mature-wise, to the point where we can trust that what they are going to say is going to be accepted and honorable, you know, because some people, especially our young people, their approach is kind of raw sometimes, and we have to tell them, you know, calm down, relax, slow down, you know, because this is done out of love, because we love each other, and we want, like you said, we want to be perceived as being righteous and honorable and not like a cult, because we don't promote any of that.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Donia, you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I did want to say something. I wanted to say that to the Christians that are on the line today, I think that once you find that you're not satisfied, and that you want to find that you want to find out why certain things are happening to us, you just open the door for learning. You understand? It gives you. My suggestion is that you try to get with the school of knowledge, so that you can get full understanding and get some clarity. You understand? So that you can make a sound decision. You understand? You can't make a sound decision if you're only getting half the story. You understand? Mm-hmm. This story, this is a story that has not been told. And so we need to through Yaina, you understand, who has put together this program for the School of Knowledge. She has is giving us an opportunity. You understand, to get all of these questions answered, you understand, so that we can make a conscious decision. You understand? Right now, you understand, you know, you open up the door to allow yourself to get some understanding. And you got to know your genealogy. You got to know your lineage. Everybody else know their lineage but us. We think we just slaves. That's what we think, you understand, and that we've been taught this Christian doctrine. We've been under this Christian facade for 400 plus years. You understand? Now we're just trying to find out who we are and what place we play in the scriptures. Who are we in the scriptures? You understand? And this stuff can be can be revealed to you through the eyes of the mouth of the prophets that the Almighty speaks through. You understand, in the Old Testament. Now, you got to start there. You understand? Now, what's happening here now in the earth today is that the Almighty is getting ready to bring all of this stuff to an end.
Yes, he is.
And that's why you're getting ready. That's why you're trying to say, well, who are we? What are we about? What's this, you understand? Why do these things happen to us? You understand? Because the Almighty is getting ready to bring his wrath on peoples that kept us captive. That's what's happening now. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. Eric Code, we're going to move right along. Eric Code 646, go ahead. You're on the air. You'd like to ask the pastor the question? Eric Code 646. We've opened up your mic. You're on the air. We'll give them a moment to get off of mute. You push one, you're on the air. And the one thing that I would like to say is that we are, and when I say we, I mean the transatlantic, the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, you all that are on the Christian panel, we are the most powerful people on the planet. We are the most powerful people on the planet. Because we are the apple of his eye. We are the Most High's chosen people that he is coming back to restore into our rightful position. So all of these things can definitely be vital to our survival and understanding that because the story is over for the Gentile, it does not mean the story is over for us. This is why we have to get this information out. And I'm going to mute area code 646 for a moment because they're not saying anything. Area code 312, go ahead. You're on the air. Area code 312-802.
Can you hear me?
You're on the air. Could you please unmute your phone? We have you on the air. Your mic is open.
Can you hear me now?
I'm not quite sure what's going on with the phone line and whether or not people are you there?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. No, I was just going to say I think it's important to remember that there was a passage in the scripture where the Most High is describing the, you know, judgment that Israel was about to undertake, and he says something important where he says, had he not shortened the time, you know, no flesh would survive. And I think a lot of times in Christianity, things that are particularly pertaining to the Hebrew people are attributed to the other people of the world. When in Scripture he's giving us guidance as to the condition of the Hebrew people and their blight during this judgment, during this sentence, during this prison sentence that, you know, we our ancestors undertook. But when he says, had he not shortened the time, no flesh would have survived, Hebrew Israelites need to remember that there's something in the blood of a Hebrew Israelite that is unique to the Most High. And it's tied to the covenant that he made with Abraham, where he basically promised him that whenever the changing of the tides would happen, whenever the changing of ages would take place, that his children would be essential in the changing of the ages and that they would always be present at the changing of the ages. Now, I say that to say, going back to the scripture that no flesh would survive, you were talking about the transatlantic slave trade. We have to keep in mind that there are spirits behind the conspiracy to destroy the nation of Israel. So though all of these things were happening and some of these nations were completely clueless to what was going on, the spirit that was driving them, the serpent spirit that was driving them, was motivating many of the things that we call prophecy fulfilled, but the agenda is spiritual. So the spiritual agenda was always to wipe out the lineage of Abraham, to wipe out the lineage of Yaakov because of the importance of his blood. Because the blood is sacred, the Hebrew blood is sacred. As you said, we're the most special people on the planet. We're the one people on the planet who has full access to the creator of the world. So mixing and mingling us among the African-Americans, and it's funny when you talk to African-American Hebrews or Hebrews from other portions of the world, and everybody believes that they look like the original Hebrews. They get in, you know, you get into debates where Hebrews spread into Arabia, you know, a majority went into Africa, but you have the African-Americans who some, I won't say all, will look at other Hebrew nations and say, well, you know, the Hebrews were a black people. They was into this. Yes, the Hebrews were indeed a black people, but they weren't black in the sense of we don't look like the original Hebrews look, though they are our ancestors 100%. But when we migrated into Africa, we mixed with the African population. When the Hebrews migrated into Arabia, they mixed with the population. And we're talking over 2,000 years later, we have this multitude, speckled bird that we now call Israel. And keeping in mind that the agenda of the enemy is to intermingle the blood of Jacob with as many nations as possible so that there is, like he said, had he shortened the time, no flesh would survive. That flesh that he's talking about is the flesh of Yaakov. He's basically telling them, if I don't shorten the days, there's not going to be enough Israel left to do anything with.
That is correct.
Which is why I believe we have embarked on an important time where it is absolutely important to understand your heritage. It's absolutely important to understand the sacredness of having the blood of a Hebrew in you, because it's almost like he has to save us now, because the direction that the world is going in, soon there won't be anything left to save. And I'm sorry to say it like that, but if Yaakov's children are not saved, then game over.
That is correct.
And we at this point are an endangered species on this planet, whether they're attacking us via drugs, whether they're attacking us via intermingling. And I'm not by any means saying that intermarriage and things like that are wrong, but what I'm saying is, to the question of lineage, we don't understand how sacred that man's blood was, which is why we do like Esau, we sell it for a bowl of soup.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The blood is in the blood. You know, they sung all them songs in Christianity. Oh, the blood. They used to sing that as, oh, Jesus, oh, the blood. It's in our blood. The DNA is in our blood, and we have to understand the power of who we are as a people, because like you said, like I told him last week, and I'll say it again today, and I'm going to say it every time I come on this show. It's a lot of people that had that little black book up under their arm. It's a lot of people that carry that black book under their arm. You got the white supremacists carry the book. The hate groups carry the book. The white church carries the book. I mean, we rode past the church today, and I couldn't even believe it was a church. It was so many cars coming up out of that building. The police had to direct traffic. I thought it was a concert going on. It's a lot of people that carry that book under their arm. But I will challenge any pastor, any prophet, any evangelist, any end-time television program commentator to come on this show, because I guarantee you that you will make the same declaration that kings have made. Pharaohs have made this declaration, and you're going to make the same declaration that our God is God. He is the God of the Hebrews and none else. That is exactly what the scripture says. And we, Israel, have to stand up first before the world can be reconciled. So I appreciate everyone that has come on this show this evening. We appreciate the pastors. I want to give them an opportunity to give some last words. Prophetess Kelly, if you're still on the line, would you like to give some last words before we say goodbye?
I just wanted to say I appreciate the knowledge that I've gained today, the conversation. I thank you for the love that was shared today. I'm not one to debate the scriptures. I will take the knowledge that you all have given me, and I will pray on it and continue to ask for the Most High to give me wisdom and to continue to enlighten me. And I just want to say thank you for having me on.
Pastor Johnson, do you have any last words before we say goodnight?
Hello. I just want to thank everyone for the information. And I appreciate everybody's honesty. And I will try to chime in next week. Thank you.
Great. Hallelujah. Brother Donia, do you have any last remarks?
I just want to let everybody know that I love each and every one of you with the dying love that I have for the Almighty, and that's my last words. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know what I want to say is thank you so much, Israel, because you were truly a gem today. We appreciate everyone's comments, their feedback, everything they had to say. We will not have a business meeting this afternoon. We will not have an entrepreneurship meeting this afternoon. We're going to take the time and rest today. But I want to tell you all, don't forget about the School of Knowledge. It's open to everyone, Christians, Muslims, Hebrews, everyone. If you want more information, sign up. The email address is NOY for Nation of Yehuda, DOSK for Director of School of Knowledge. please email her so she can give you the information and we can get started this Thursday, because when we research, we dig, we study, we open books, we have maps, we go through the whole nine yards, and we come up with the conclusion. If we don't have the answer, we find the answer. And on that note, we want to say shalom, shalom to everyone, and we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining in, and we look forward to being inviting the pastors to come back again. Bring them. Every time we have one, you're more than welcome to come, because this is what it's for. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Thank you so much.
Shalom, shalom.
everyone. This is Yaina Israel again for another edition of the Yehuda Project. Thank you so much. We appreciate everyone's continued commitment. I told you guys before, the church is getting ready to wake up. The real Israel is getting ready to stand up. Will the real Israelites please stand up, because the Joshua generation is here, and we're moving forward, and we're going to take the land. We're going back home into our own land peacefully, prophetically, and powerfully as the people of the Most High Yah. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again on Tuesday, Prince Asiel Show. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Bye-bye.